I'm supposed to be Tim Dunning, but Tim Dunning phoned me up and said, "Paul, can you speak for me? Because I've got all youth and I'll be right tired." So, oh, sorry, Tim's back now. So Tim said, "I believe you have the word, Paul." If you listen to any of the youth leaders after 2 days with the youth, they're all talking like that. They've all lost their voices. So it's probably a good job. Excellent. Really excited about the evening services coming up. You know, I believe God's going to do something really exciting. I believe we're going to see salvations. And the really exciting thing is there's a lot of new people managing that team and that event, so it will probably look and feel just that little bit different. So there's good things coming. God's on the move, isn't he? It's really exciting. I just want to one last thing before I get into speaking. Can I encourage you to pray for and thank God for, and encourage if you see, I don't know how you do it, anybody from the highways department, the fire service or the police service, because they have bent over backwards to allow us to be in here this morning and to allow me access the other day. They have been fantastic. They've chased around and made phone calls and done safety checks, moved road barriers, given permission. They all have to, the thing is, it can't just be one of them. They all have to liaise together because each needs permission from the other one to give permission to the other one to give permission to us. And they chased around and got that done for us. Their only condition was that we didn't come in on Saturday and have any meeting Saturday. So, you know, they have really gone out of their way. And one of the things was, but your church will need to meet, so we'll need to get something done so you can meet. How good is that? How pleasing is that? So what I've done in the meantime, I've emailed the local central councillors and thanked them for their efforts on behalf of the council. I'll do the same for police authority from on church's behalf and the fire authority. So it's good, isn't it? You know, in the midst of some really dark things and really sad things with buildings like that, God is really good. I'm sorry about the fence that burnt down and blew away the other day. That's really unfortunate. But here we go. So today I'm going to talk about a rather tenuous connection between B movies, getting your exam results, and God. Okay, they are all intimately related. There should be something up there right now, coming soon. I love a good B movie. There's a great B movie called Sharknado. Has anybody seen Sharknado? 1, 2, 3, and 4 coming soon. Four's coming soon. Sharknado. If you don't know, I bet it's died, don't worry. If you don't, I shall act it out. If you don't know Sharknado, what happens in downtown, wherever it is, America, there's a tornado, and it sucks up a shoal of sharks, wherever you have, a school of sharks, wherever you have, and there are flying sharks, but there are flying man-eating sharks. It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. I've given it an F-. It's just, the special effects are beyond bad. The storyline is borderline implausible. Okay. There's another picture if you have a little look. It's like the birds, but with sharks if you look at the next. Look at that. You don't worry, you know, like, yeah, that's borderline. Hitchcock had nothing with the birds. This is sharks, swarming, flying sharks. I love B-movies. On my shelf, I've got old sci-fi B-movies. I love drivel. But it's just sometimes they're just complete fantasy and ridiculousness. And if you've never seen Sharknado, listen, it's becoming a cultural icon. I'm glad Adrian's into it. I'm not surprised in this strange way. It's... Absolutely, yeah. If you've never seen it, you just need to do it just so that you're culturally aware. Yeah, there are lots of sequels, yeah. I mean, I grew up on Jaws, which was a bit intense and took itself very seriously. And in Jaws, there's a great white shark. But in Jaws, the shark was kind of 30 feet long and caused death and destruction. And somehow didn't have the excitement of Sharknado. A tornado full of sharks is definitely the future. Anyway, I have to sneakily confess, I was watching Sharknado, or one of its sequels. I watched about 20 minutes of it about 2 o'clock in the morning on one of the channels that was very high up, just after I was supposed to have finished preparing a sermon. You know, you do that, I'll just watch the news for 5 minutes before I go to bed. Watch Sharknado. And so I did some Googling. I did some marine biology Googling to find out some information because I was a bit captivated by, not can sharks fly, but how big are some of these sharks seemed a little bit. And I started to find some really interesting stuff, and that formed into a sermon. So I discovered that sharks in their natural habitat were great white sharks. They've never caught a great white shark more than 20 feet long. So the one on Jaws was like huge. They've never caught one that big. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to wrestle with a 20-foot great white shark. But they've never caught one as big as that. I found something really interesting. Sharks are like goldfish. Did you know that? They're like goldfish. I mean, slightly more vicious. When you put a great white shark into an aquarium, it will grow to the size of the aquarium. And I didn't know that. I thought goldfish did that. So, you know when you go to SeaWorld and you see those leaflets with a shark in the background and you get there and it's that big and it's been clever photography and you're disappointed? That's because when you put a shark in a tank, they grow to about 15 inches long. It's like they just accept that is their lot and they don't reach their potential of being these great white sharks. And it's one of these unique things, particularly to white great whites. You're all supposed to go, ooh, interesting. That was real. Sharknado's not real. The real information you've gone blank on. And that led me to another experiment with the same, obviously quite evil biologists, who put a pike, vicious fish, into a pond. And they poured minnows into the pond. And the pike went ballistic and ate all the minnows. And then they did something cruel. They put a pike in a tank in a pond and filled the pond with minnows. So every time the pike tried to get the minnows, it bashed its face on the glass. And after a while, it stopped trying. So then they took the glass tank out and put the pike in the pond and filled it with minnows. And the pike starved to death. Because it had learned to be restricted. How interesting is that? It slowly starved. Church, this morning I want to say to us, we need to get out of our tanks and to grow and to reach our potential. And we mustn't be restricted by what we think is there that isn't. So often we build restrictions into our lives that don't even exist, and we slowly starve. Ephesians 3:17 says this, if you want to turn to it, it might be, yes, paid up, that's great. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What those verses basically say is, if you try to live it and see it your way, you will be restricted, not reach your potential. Let God in on the act. Let it be Jesus. And there is no restricting to your potential. There is no transformation that he can't do. Whatever you can imagine, it pales into insignificance at the side of what our God can do. We need to know who we are, need to know how we are restricted, but we need to know even more what our potential is in Christ. Many of us can have the same restrictions and potentials as those, as that shark or that pike, thinking there's no room for us, thinking there's nowhere to grow, thinking there's nothing to eat, thinking it's pointless and hopeless. Imagine that fish that starved because he thought it was hopeless, when actually everything was there that we need. People starve in the presence of God because they're hopeless, and yet all hope can be found in him. So, I've done your B movies that I gave F minuses for, because they were terrible, honestly. Don't watch it, it's so bad. I would never watch a Sharknado movie again. We've looked at, right now, we have got people, one of them is just going away, who I don't want to give F minuses to, or treat as B movies, but these are A grade people going away. They're people waiting for exam results, waiting to be graded, waiting to be judged, right now we've got people whose potential is being weighed on their ability to write on an exam paper. I've got to tell you, I find that really scary. Because some of you were probably straight A students. Put your hand up if you're an A grade student. Come on, do it. The Lord bless and keep you. Oh, look, they're slowly going up. They're all a bit embarrassed, but then they all go up. Put your hand up if you weren't an A grade student. Put your hand up if you got a qualification. Ish. Put your hand up if you got art. Oh, yeah. You know, in year 9, when your teacher starts saying, I think you should take art as one of your main options, you know you're not going to get many qualifications. It has always been thus. And when I was encouraged to Barnsley Art College, at that point I thought, maths and English I may not be getting, but I might get a place in Barnsley Art College. Okay? We judge people on their ability to get an A or an A star or a B or a C or a D. You know what? That is so false. Please, whatever you got in your grades, whatever you're about to get in your grades, you are so much more than an exam. Whatever the ultimate is. Your future is so much more than an exam grade. You are not Sharknado. That is not the rest of your life. Okay, you are not a shark in a tank or a pike starving. I want to get straight into some A's with you today. I want to give you some biblical A's. See, there's a slide coming up, but we possess a God gift that defines us by eternal purposes rather than personal problems, pressures or pain. So there'll be people that don't get a qualification, don't get the grades they wanted, and they can become defined by what they perceive to be failure. Many of us have not achieved the things we'd hope to achieve, and we can become defined by those things. We can even become defined by our ambitions. But we possess a God gift that defines us by eternal purposes in Him, rather than personal problems, pressures or pain. And it says in Psalms 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. See, there's something wonderful about how God works this stuff out. The potential in God is that even when you're sowing in tears, you can reap in joy. It's the complete reverse. There is something I think we can only find in Jesus in that. And look, I want to tell you that I always find church the most wonderful but abstract, strange thing all at the same time. Because we all gather and sing at something we can't see about somebody we haven't physically met. And it's the strangest. Where is God? Tangibly, where is God? And I feel like sometimes I stand up and preach, and is this just a life coaching lesson? Is this just a G'ing you up session? No. We can meet in the presence of the living God. Yeah. And we can physically touch and experience that, and we see it, and we see the Lord in one another. Those of us that have become Christians know that it's not just a nice feeling, it's not just an escape route, but it's a physical presence and awareness of salvation in Christ. It's an awareness of our eternity. It's an awareness that although our life might have been filled with tears, when we present that to God, we can reap shouts of joy. It is something so much more than just nice life coaching idealism. It's tangible. The presence of the Holy Spirit. I love it when people come to church and they say to me, I didn't understand everything in church, but every time I come in, there's that great feeling. There's like something there. There's a wonderful feeling when I come in. What is that? It feels like there's something speaking to me. What's that? I only find that in church. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because the Lord is here. Yeah. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. When you've made mistakes or found yourself in a place of problems, pain or pressure and not being where you wanted to be, keep living your God story because that will inspire others to find hope. You know, it's amazing when people get the F-, but they keep living the God story because that does inspire the rest of us. So whatever happens in life, I love those people when they're faced with an issue and a challenge, they don't run away from God, they run to God. They are inspiring people. They are remarkable people, and I love that because it just inspires me. I see faith. So my first A that I want to give you this morning is being awakened to your identity. Being awakened to your identity. There's a story about the prodigal son. He's a great example from Scripture. He took everything he could from his dad. He went and squandered it. All his inheritance he spent before his dad was dead. Cultural things you don't need to worry about, but he went wild with it. He lived a bit of a wild life and eventually found himself broke and broken and living and eating with pigs. OK? Can you imagine that? And you've got to imagine culturally, he was eating with pigs. It was as low as it gets. And this is what he said. He came, but the Bible says he came to himself and he said, my father has given us people that work for him that have more than enough. So what am I doing in a pigsty? I'm going to go to my father and ask for forgiveness and ask him to make me a servant. He began to see who he was. The only way you can control what comes out of your life is by taking control of what you allow into your life. And he'd allowed mess into his life. He'd allowed selfishness into his life, and he quite literally allowed pig food into his life. But he realized, when he understood who he was, if I go to my father, he began to see his sonship again. Church, every one of you here can rediscover your sonship, or your daughtership, your childhood in Christ. Sonship's important culturally because it means your inheritance in the old, in the biblical sense. But look, every one of you can discover who you are as a child of God, how precious you are, how important you are to the Lord. See, a prodigal was putting pig food in his mouth, living a pig-style life when he could have been living as a son. And that's true for every one of us. We get ourselves into situations and moments in time, make decisions, have experiences when we can be living as sons of the living God. There's no place that God cannot reach us. So I want to tell you this morning, wherever your life has ended, wherever it has led you to, whatever problems you've faced, however low it's become, however challenging or frightening, here's what you need to know. God can reach you in that place because he remains our Father God. There is no place, there is no pig pen. We can sink that low and God can still reach us there. How amazing is our God? How amazing, seriously, how amazing is he? When we know who we are, a child of the Most High, God, then we know our potential is high in God. A God input will produce a God output. I want to tell you, wherever you are this morning, when you pursue God, whoever you are, however unlikely, however impossible it might be, this morning, if you are to surrender your life to God, to Jesus Christ, then it will definitely make a difference to your eternity. But more exciting, it can make a difference to your right now moment and to your tomorrow morning and for the rest of your week. And you need to get hold of this. Church, we need to live this and know this. I'm going over a basic because we need to be aware of it. Our salvation doesn't begin when we're dead and go to heaven. Your kingdom come is what Jesus prayed. It begins now. The transformation starts today. So wherever you are in your life right now, the transformation can start today. I like that. The second A is being aware of the possibilities. We need to be aware of the possibilities. We need to be aware of the possibilities in God. See, the shark was limited because it conformed to its confinement. It conformed to the world it was in. But I love that we are, well, the Bible says, doesn't it? Just coming to mind. You may be in the world, but you're not of the world. You may be in the tank, but you're not of the tank. You may be meant to be small in the tank, but in God you can be big in the tank. Ooh, you don't want a big white shark loose in a small tank, do you? That's going to be mayhem. Listen, God has set his people free in the world and said, here's my Holy Spirit, get out there, go into all the world. Tell you what, in the nicest possible way, we're God's great white sharks out there in a little tank doing the thing. Except we're not eating everything. You get the analogy. I'm stretching it too far. God has set us free. He's lifted the restriction. He's given us potential. We don't need to be conformed and confined anymore. Some of you think that you can't do this. There are people sat in this room that will think, yes, that's wonderful for everybody else. God can do amazing things in their lives. God has purpose for their lives except for mine. There are people sat in this room that think I'm too little or too young, or I'm too old, I'm too big, I'm too short, too tall, too dark, too light, not strong enough, not smart enough, not good enough, or simply because you don't deserve it. Well, the Bible says this. These are the words from the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever your experience of life might be, however young you are or old you are, whatever shape or shade of skin you have, whatever your experience has been, whatever crimes you've committed, whatever successes you've had, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got to tell you, I don't think I can do anything without Christ who strengthens me. I just feel like without Christ, whenever Christ's not around in my life, when I'm ignoring him, I feel like I'm just on a gentle slope down. I just feel like the speed is building up. I have to be near Christ now. Is it all right to say I'm addicted? I need that. The promises of God are not a right, but a requirement for a process. God is preparing your life to carry the work he wants to do beyond the situation you're in, and he calls it discipleship. So don't think that it's over in a flash. That's it. Oh, but I prayed a prayer once, now I'm a Christian. I can pray a prayer now and now I'm a Christian. God is bringing us into a process time called discipleship, where he builds us and works us. Because we are so precious, he spends time in our lives. Yeah. You've got to understand, if we weren't precious, we could become Christians. We could, because God could step in, we could have a moment in time, boom, saved. But here's what God does. God, our Father, through Christ, through his Holy Spirit, says, but I want to spend time with you. I want to live with you. I want to live within you. I want to pour my Holy Spirit on you so that for the rest of your life on this planet, I'm going to be shaping you and helping you and strengthening you and transforming you because I'm committed to you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? We become his children. Here's the difference between our children and us as children of God. See, my children left home and abandoned me. Even though I'd given them everything. Kate's abandoning her parents. She sucked them dry of life and now she's out of there. But when she needs a bank loan or some help, she'll be back. And Neil's going to say, you're not. How much? The thing is, we do the same with God. We do the same thing with God. We do it our way, then every now and again we think, oh, Lord, we love you. We do. But here's the amazing thing. He's always there for us. He's always there for us. And if we actually learn to live in his house and to dwell with him and to be with him all the time, oh, my days, how he can invest in us, what he can do with us. Not dipping in and out of his presence, but learning to dwell in his presence. Wow. He can disciple us and build us. Others may think that because of their status in life, our situation at home or our surroundings, that there's nothing we can do about our lives. But we have a God-given potential and a promise. Restriction is lifted from us if we'll only get hold of our potential in God. The Bible says God will not put more on you than you can bear. Trials may come. Anybody here face trials? Anybody? Put your hand up if you've ever had bad times. Right, put your hands down. Put your hands up if you're a Christian. Right. Put your hands up if you're a Christian that's had bad times. You faithless lot. I thought you meant to prosper and everything was good now you're a Christian. Nothing ever goes wrong now you're a Christian. Life is perfect now, isn't it? Mark's nodding. The truth is, stuff still comes. We're still sometimes in a tank, but we don't belong in the tank. We're still here. Sometimes pressures come. Things happen. Things are difficult. But the Lord will not put more on us than we can take. And ultimately, our entire life is just a blink with an eternity with him. Here's what Scripture says, and this is how he makes us strong. And those verses that we cringe with when we're having a tough time. But the Bible says, all things work together for good for those who love God and those called according to his purpose. So here's what I want to do. I want to make sure I love God and I want to find my purpose in him. Because if I love God and my purpose is found in him, then no matter what comes against me, he can use it for good. Yeah. If I've got no love for him and I've got no purpose in him, stuff that comes against me is going to hurt. It's going to be a problem. It's going to trip me up. But if I can find my love for him, if I can find my purpose in him, then no matter what comes, it will work together for good. We've got to understand these verses. Sometimes we get angry at these verses. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable with them when bad stuff's happening. But here's the thing. When the tough stuff's coming, love God. Yeah. Look to Jesus. When you don't know which way to go and what to do in those circumstances, find his purpose. Serve him. And see how he transforms it and works it for good. Even the things our enemy would mean to hurt us, he can use for good in our lives. Our God's remarkable. Because of these things, we have the power to free our minds. Scripture says you can renew your mind. I need my mind renewing on a daily basis. I need to change what goes off in there. We have the power to break through the limitations imposed on us by life and reach our full life potential in God. Scripture says, I want to give you life and life in abundance. The third A is alive. Be alive to your responsibilities. Responsibilities? That sounds like a job. Welcome to church. You know you have responsibilities. We all have responsibilities to ourselves. Responsibilities to our parents, Kate. Responsibilities to our friends. Responsibilities to our brothers, sisters. Responsibilities to our community. Responsibilities to society. But most importantly, we have responsibility to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. First of all. There is always somebody going to tell you what you should be doing and how you should be working it and what you have to do for other people and what you must be like. There will always be somebody placing responsibility on you and expectation over you. But first of all, it must be Jesus. It just must be. Otherwise, you can't fulfill all the other stuff. All the other stuff becomes a pleasure. It becomes a pain and not a pleasure. And I've got to tell you, responsibility, when it's found in Christ, can become a joy. When you sow, you can reap with shouts of joy. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. In other words, look to him, love him, and you will find purpose in him. See, the pike, that big fish, had all it needed for life, but it died from hopelessness because it became a prisoner of its perception. Life is too hard. Food is too difficult to get. It will hurt. And it sat still until it died. Its perception of what was real had been lost. When the opportunity came to change itself and to feed, it didn't realize it. Church, we've got to understand at this moment in time, I believe we're in a moment in time, where our perception must be of Jesus. And not of our situation. We're going to be praying tonight for a building. But it's just a building. Okay? It's just a mortgage. But our perception must be of Jesus. If we see him, if we invest in him and find our purpose in him, all of these things will fit together. If we don't look to Jesus, we will be like a fish sat in a pond full of food, starving to death. I don't want that for us. I don't want that for me. I want Jesus set free in our lives. This morning, there are people in this room. I'm going to guess there are people, because I don't know everybody. There may be people in this room who are not Christians, who have never given their life to Jesus this morning. I want to tell you, it's a strange thing to talk about giving your life to Jesus. And it's a strange thing living your life for Jesus. But it's also wonderful. And you begin to realize the truth of these kinds of words. And when you hear these religious phrases, if you like, these phrases that we pick up from the Bible and that we speak and we preach and we read and we say, we begin to experience them as reality in our lives, foundation things in our lives. And it transforms our perception. In our generation, people tend to view ministry and serving and purpose as self-fulfillment rather than kingdom advancement. It's not me that said that. Lawrence Neeson said that last year. We don't want... It must be true then. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lawrence Neeson. Listen, what we are in God and our purpose is not about us and feeling fulfilled. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. So when we are praying, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? It's not so that I can look good or feel good. It's so that we can see the kingdom of God advance in our town. And we're praying, Lord, would you help us sort out this building and pay for it? It's not so that we can say, "Ooh, look at us in our posh building." It's so that we can carry Jesus into our town and lift up the name of Jesus and advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're about. If we think about ourselves, we'll become hungry and starve. If we think about others, we look to Christ, we will not be hungry. Hungry is a powerful feeling. Anybody been hungry? Does anybody live perpetually hungry? I am one of those people. The reason I struggle with like trying to be thin and stay thin is because I am perpetually hungry. I want to take this up with God when I get to heaven. Why did you give me a permanent hunger gland? Hunger isn't always physical. Hunger can be emotional hungry. You probably have... I always had those friends that do anything to seek attention. Emotionally hungry people. Yeah. Those people that are starving for love, starving for attention, those people that, you know, you always try to show them genuine concern, but they're always emotionally hungry. You know, we all do it. We all have those moments where we're spiritually and emotionally hungry and trying to get attention. Look at me, look at me. We do it all the time. But in God, all of that stuff can be dealt with. In Jesus, we find the source of all we need to be uniquely, securely us in Jesus. Isn't it amazing that who you are is uniquely put together by God? Real people aren't perfect, so don't worry. Anybody here perfect? It's just that we don't have perfect people in our church. So if you are perfect, we'd like you to leave now. Because you are dangerously deluded. Real people aren't perfect, and perfect people aren't real. All God's creativity, I just want to say this over every one of our lives this morning. All God's creativity made you uniquely you, right down to your fingerprints and DNA. So don't spend all your energy trying to be like someone else except Jesus. Because he made us, I want to be like him. See, if Jesus made me and put me together, I don't want to be like Chris. I like Chris. Chris is a good bloke. There's a lot of admirable things about Chris, but mate, Jesus is better. All right? You're a bit rubbish by comparison. Equally, I'm a bit rubbish by comparison. You all sit in your own place. You're going to have to stop sitting up front row, right in my line of sight. Listen, Chris, you are ace. You are brilliant, and you serve, and you love the Lord, and your life is often hidden in the Lord, but you're still not the Lord. You're still not Jesus. Yeah, close second. So can I have the ministry team out here, please, now? Out! Out! Look, what I'm saying to you is, God knows you. God knows you. I just put your name there. God knows you. Everything about you. He knows your DNA. He knows your fingerprints. Get to know him. Get to know him. In your life, remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we have the band back up, please? It's all right. I believe I'm coming to a place of appropriate godly frustration right now. And which is why I've kind of rambled around one or two things this morning with you being aware, being alive, and being awake. Was that right? I've lost my own thought. Being awake, being alive, being aware, whatever it was. Good things in God, straight A's. Okay. Been awake, been alive, been aware. We need to be all those things about Christ. Why am I preaching this way? Because I feel like we've got to get hold of something. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church, in this congregation. And here's what I'm really frustrated at. I have loved baptisms. I have loved baptisms. How good is that? I am longing to see salvation. I'm longing to see people saved. I'm longing to see some of these empty chairs filled with new Christians, with people who have begun that process that I talked about. Discipleship. I am longing to see people walking about in our town centre this morning who will discover who Jesus is. I want to tell you very briefly an experience of this week. This week, Julie and I came to park in the car park on the side here. And was it six or seven people, men and women? Six, seven men and women in the car park on the side here, climbed through the fence, filled the hall up now. And pretty intimidating. Every one of them was high. Every one of them had been injecting chemicals into their lives. And they weren't bad people. They weren't scary. They weren't angry. They just wanted somewhere safe. It kind of broke my heart that they found the air conditioning units outside. I came in yesterday and I collected over 30 needles that weren't there last week. Church, we need to see salvation in our town. Because I absolutely believe ultimately the only person that can transform those lives for eternity is Jesus Christ. I know they can get great counselling. We can refer them to great rehab places and see amazing things done. But ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus knows their DNA. Jesus knows their fingerprints, and Jesus loves them completely. And they are no different to a prodigal son who finds himself in a pigsty. But they are actually sons and daughters of a living God when they give their lives to Jesus. You don't have to be so dramatically desperate this morning, but we need to be praying for our town. We're going to meet and pray tonight. Church, can we meet and be with the Holy Spirit and pray for the salvation of people in our town, for his kingdom to come in people's lives? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Here's what we're going to do. Because I believe we've got to start seeing salvations, I'm going to ask that we stand together if we possibly can. And I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And I'm going to do something I never normally do. I am going to do a string of appeals this morning. And I am unashamed in doing that. And I don't mind. And I know I've got youth in, and the youth want to do it. But you know what? That's fine. This is the presence of God stuff. It might be that you don't want to respond. It might be that I do an appeal and nobody responds. I never worry about that. Because we've got to give people, we've got to open the door for people. God, open the door for people. You know, our God is a gentleman. It says he stands and knocks. All you've got to do is open the door. He never forces his way in. So I can have an appeal and say, come forward. It's an opportunity. So there might be people here this morning that just need to connect with Jesus again and say, you know what? I am not going to be judged F minus anymore. My potential is found in Christ. Who I am belongs to God. And so I'm going to ask those people in a few moments' time to just come and stand, and we'll pray over you, and we'll pray for you, and we'll worship. But there's a group of people this morning, I don't know everybody in this room, and I'm not putting anybody under pressure, but here's what I want to tell you. If you are not a Christian, and by that I mean having surrendered your life to him, pray this kind of prayer that says, I know who you are. I'm going to read this prayer in a moment. I don't just mean, oh, I believe in God, but I mean actually giving your life to Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. I'm going to ask that you do this incredibly scary, dangerous thing. And I'm going to ask that you come and stand at the front. And it's in public. I know that's embarrassing and difficult, but here's the thing, it's worth it. For eternity, it's worth it. For your right now moment, it's worth it. And this is an incredibly safe place where nobody would laugh or poke fun, but people... You're surrounded by people who have already made that commitment to Jesus. And actually, you're surrounded by family. It is the safest place in town right now. So I'm going to ask that when I pray this prayer, if you want to respond and commit your life to Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, to become a Christian, to begin that process of discipleship for all your life, you're going to come and stand at the front. And some of our guys will come and pray with you. So here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. But why don't we all say it together? So that if you need to become a Christian this morning, you can say it as we're praying this. Lord Jesus, I know I have done things wrong in my thoughts, words, and actions. There are so many good things I have not done. There are so many wrong things I have done. I am sorry for those things and turn from everything I know to be bad. You gave your life for me on a cross. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. Now I ask you to come into my life. Come in as my Saviour to clean me. Come in as my Lord to lead me. And I will serve you all the remaining days of my life. Amen. To become a Christian is as simple as putting that into action in your life. They're not magical words, it's not a spell. But what we've described is a way of living and a way of surrendering to Jesus. So as the band begin to sing and to play, to worship, we're going to stay on our feet, we're going to sing, we're going to worship with them. And if you need to give your life to Jesus this morning, if you want to find out about that, I'm going to encourage you to come and stand at the front just for a few seconds, and then I want to talk to one or two other people. So let's worship.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they